There's also a vigorous debate outside the administration about how the U.S. should deal with Iran and its nuclear program. Some favor military action. Others say the U.S. should focus first on changing the Iranian government. NPR's Tom Gelton has more.
Here's the case for carrying out airstrikes on suspected Iranian nuclear facilities. A nuclear-armed Iran would so destabilize the volatile Middle East region that the use of force would be justified to block that development. Corey Shockey is a research fellow at the Hoover Institution. She was also a foreign policy advisor to John McCain during his presidential campaign.
I do think military attacks on the Iranian nuclear infrastructure may eventually be necessary to prevent Iran from possessing nuclear weapons. And I think preventing Iran from possessing nuclear weapons is an enormously important national security goal for the United States.
Support for military action in Iran is especially strong within the so-called neoconservative movement. But the neocons are not of one mind on this. Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute is a case in point.
I do consider myself a neoconservative, and I very much supported the Iraq war. However, Iran is a different case.
Rubin opposes military attacks on Iran, not because he doesn't worry about Iran developing a nuclear bomb. He just thinks the best way to keep Iran non-nuclear is to push for a new government there.
I very much support regime change in Iran, and military strikes on Iran would set back regime change. And what I would use to support this is the fact that when we go back 31 years...
Back to the Ayatollah Khomeini, who Rubin says almost lost control of Iran after his 1979 revolution. Khomeini consolidated power, Rubin argues, only after Iraq invaded Iran a year later. At that point, Iranians rallied behind Khomeini. And if the U.S. were to attack their country, Rubin says, the Iranians would rally behind their government again.
Anyone who says that the Iranian people might rise up and support bombing their country has never been to Iran nor talked to Iranians.
Rubin spent 5 years in Iran doing research. He has a whole list of ways the United States could promote regime change in Iran, like support independent trade unions, set up a clandestine communication system, recruit defectors, all to bring about an end to the current government.
We don't know where the chips will fall if everything collapses. But we should at least have a discussion first about where we would like to see Iran and then walk backwards from that in policy to determine what we can do to sort of push and nudge the Iranian people and any post-Islamic Republic government in that direction.
Rubin argues that a new government in Iran would be more trustworthy, more likely to trade away its nuclear program in return for aid. Promoting democracy in other countries is actually something of a U.S. specialty. Thomas Carruthers of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace studies such efforts. With respect to Iran, he says there's one point to keep in mind. Regime change might not happen.
I understand the impulse on the part of many people here in Washington now to say we do need regime change in Iran. It would be a good thing. But I'm cautious if we make that the basis of our policy and say our policy will only succeed if this occurs because, you know, there's strong evidence pointing to the fact that we don't always get what we want in that regard.
Take Cuba, where the United States has been trying unsuccessfully to promote regime change now for 50 years. Corey Shockey of the Hoover Institution has another objection to depending on regime change to reverse an Iranian nuclear weapons program. Even a more democratic government, she says, may not be able to move against the hardline elements likely to control a bomb.
They may need to shore up their right flank and continue the nuclear program for some period of time or even indefinitely. And that, too, will be a problem for us.
Shockey does recognize the dangers in the military option, that Iran would escalate the conflict, for example, and retaliate. There could be a wider war. For his part, Michael Rubin admits his regime change policy may not work either. On one point, everyone seems to agree. With Iran, there's no really good option. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.
And an update now on a story we're tracking this morning. Last night, federal officials and New York City police arrested a man in connection with the car bomb that was found in Times Square on Saturday. His name is Faisal Shahzad, and he was taken into custody just before midnight at JFK Airport, Authorities say he was trying to take a flight to Dubai. Shahzad is a naturalized U.S. citizen and had recently returned from Pakistan. We'll have more on this developing story later in the show.